And as he read on in Romans 5, he came to this verse, in verse 7, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die." And that arrested me. As Marion read those words, hearing it perhaps from a different voice, I'd read that verse so many, many times before. But as Marion read that, I said, "Whoa, stop the bus. Why does Paul set a good man above a righteous man?" He's saying, scarcely, I'm going to put it in colloquial English, hardly anyone would die in the place of a righteous man, but in the place of a good man, some would even die. And that just arrested me. Why would he put a good man above a righteous man? And I began to study on that whole subject, the goodness of God and righteousness. And I believe this is what Paul was trying to communicate. A righteous person, someone who is pursuing righteousness by what they do, by the works of the law, is a person who continually measures their behavior. And when you get around them, you continually feel measured by them. And so it's uncomfortable being around righteous people. We would call it this side self-righteous, because they're trying desperately, as Romans 10 says about the Jews, they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So a person who is going about to establish their own righteousness, this is exactly how I was in my relationship to God in my younger years. I was trying to excel, trying to be better than everybody else. If somebody at Bible school got up at 5:45, I got up at 5:40. I had to be better. My righteousness had to be better than others. Excuse me, I just have to chuckle at the absurdity of what I was trying to accomplish. But I was so intent on trying to be as righteous as possible. And the problem with someone like that is this: since they're always measuring their own behavior, they carry around with them a big old measuring stick and they measure the behavior of everyone else. And that was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were absolutely intent on gaining righteousness through the works of the law. Of course, they failed miserably, but you would never know it from their behavior in front of the people, because they paraded themselves and they did all these outward acts of subservience and submission to the law. But as Jesus said, they were like whited sepulchres. Inside, there was so much evil in their hearts. And so it's like the pursuit of self-righteousness, as you're measuring yourself, you measure everyone else around you. And so Jesus came under their wrath because he did not keep the rules of the law. And they became irate with him. And really, because of his not keeping the law, that's the reason that he ultimately died, because he was not a law keeper. But of course, he kept the law of God perfectly, but he didn't keep all the rules that they had developed around those rules. For example, healing on the Sabbath, he did that continually, and it was sometimes you think he did it to provoke the Pharisees. But really what he was doing was revealing the character of the Father in the midst of the law, that the law wasn't to be a burden to break somebody's back. The law was meant to be a protection for people. But in the midst of it, they had made so many little minute rules. And as a result, Jesus ran foul of their interpretation of the law. And so they criticized him continually for being a lawbreaker. But in their criticism of him, they unveiled or revealed something that is so phenomenal about Jesus. And that is this: that he wasn't a judge. He hadn't come to judge. He was revealing the Father's nature in being non-judgmental. And so they ascribed to Jesus, they said, and Jesus reported this of them. He said, you know, John came eating and drinking, and you say he's got a demon. He said, the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.